Let's open up in prayer and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time together, Lord, to gather together, to worship you, to look into your word and try to get understanding for the calling that you have on our lives. Pray that you would bless this time together. We also pray that you would bless our pastor and Ginger as they are getting a much deserved, much needed rest and vacation. We pray for our sister Krista and Lawrence as they go to Jersey, and as Krista will be delivering the eulogy for her grandmother. Pray that you would bless her efforts to prepare this, and Lord, as she seeks to honor her Nan and to honor Christ, we pray that you would help her to do that, and that those who are under the hearing of the gospel will turn and repent and believe on Christ. And we pray also for our brother Anthony, who is preaching at Word of Truth today. Pray for him and for that congregation, that you would just bless him, help him to fully articulate the message you have for his people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. All righty. So today, I feel like there's an echo. Am I just too close to the speaker? Today we're going to be talking about good works. Now the pastor's not here. I'd like to focus on salvation by works and works alone. All right, yeah. Probably shouldn't have said that while still recording, right? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to go through a number of passages just to hopefully be an encouragement to you as believers. This is a verse that I think often needs to be remembered by Christians to press on. So if you would, read along with me. We'll start in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do not grow weary in doing good. This is a needed reminder, I think. I don't know about you guys, but you can get weary trying to do good. We look at the world around us. We look at our media, our books, our TV shows, our YouTube videos, little Facebook videos that, scroll by as you're on Facebook. And like in a TV show, you watch it for a half hour, whatever, and at least in the old days, I don't watch as much TV now. But if there was a problem going on in that episode, some crisis, within a half hour, including commercials, it's all worked out. And it's over and done, right? Everything is made right. You go and you watch a movie for an hour and a half, and there's, a crisis, there's a conflict, but by the end of the movie, it's all done. The victory is had, they all live happily ever after, right? But real life isn't that quick, is it? Real life, we find that our life just seems to be stuck at times. Like, we're just constantly in process. We're constantly dealing with circumstances that just don't seem to end. If we look at our heroes of the faith, this is what they endured. We think of Joseph, who's this righteous man, righteous young man, who was following after the Lord, sharing what God had put on his heart, and hated for it. They were going to kill their own brother, and instead they just sold him into slavery, right? And so he goes and he serves as a slave for years, and then he's falsely accused and he's thrown in prison, and he's in prison for years. God had a plan for his life, but it wasn't just like a half hour. It wasn't a really bad weekend. Years and years went by, and he was called to be faithful and to obey God, right? And if he hadn't, if he had grown weary of that, if he had taken the attitude some of us are so quick to take, like, this isn't fair. I don't deserve this. Be a slave to this guy? Not have to leave the back door unlocked. I'm out of here, You want me to have a good attitude? No. If he hadn't had the attitude that he had, if he hadn't had that spirit of just seeking to glorify God in all he did, he would not have been raised to a position of prominence in Potiphar's household. And when the accusation came against him, it probably would have been believed to the point that he would have been put to death and not experienced the mercy of just prison, just a dungeon. And then to have a good attitude in prison where he was so faithful in all that he did that even the head of the prison said, you know what, I'm going to make you in charge of everything. I'm going to trust you with all this. A bad attitude, you know, a refusal to do good would not have gotten him to those positions of prominence that he would have had opportunity to share the gift that God gave him with fellow prisoners, that he would be forgotten by again until years later when Pharaoh has a dream. And finally, Joseph is remembered. So much time has gone on. He's gotten older and everything. His brothers don't even recognize him when they finally meet up with him again. They don't even recognize their own flesh and blood. He has grown up. He's been years away from them. They barely remember his face. So, that's Joseph. King David, anointed king as a young man, as a boy, but spent years on the run. Years serving in the court of the king, but then almost immediately as an enemy, as someone who's looked on with jealousy. And he's on the run for his life. He's running around Israel, trying to just stay alive, trying to stay one step ahead. It's easy to grow weary. I mean, he went off to the Philistines. I mean, why not just keep going, you know? God had made this promise, but man, oh man, he's enduring so much. Right, so these are some of our heroes. You know, I mentioned Abraham first, to just go in chronological order. But Abraham also was waiting on God. It seemed to take forever, and yet, despite his failures and his mistakes and his trying to help God along, God eventually brought him to the place where He wanted him. He gave him the child that He promised him, and the rest is history. Right. Messiah comes from the line of Abraham. So it's easy to grow weary in doing good. It's easy to get tired. We get frustrated. In our day and age, we want everything now. We want to be our gratification now. We want the promotion now. We want the relationship now. We want the car now. We want everything now. We don't want to wait. And when we try to do ministry, when we try to do the things of God, when we try to focus on that which is good, it's exhausting. No one's listening. You know, for those who are outside the abortion mill, it's just like week after week we go without seeing anyone turn and spare their child. What's the point? A few years and a few children? It's exhausting to be rejected, to see people with just hard hearts and just go in. Working with the homeless ministry, a friend of mine who I met through Facebook, and we actually went down to Bayshore. He was sort of lamenting on Facebook about just the frustration of week after week. He's doing this ministry to help the homeless, and he feels like most people don't want to take part. You know, there's people at night who help along, and then in the morning, there's a lot of cleanup to be done. The bathrooms are a mess. You know, there's vomit and other stuff in there. Things have to be put away and cleaned up, and no one wants to help. And he's just all there by himself, and he's frustrated. He's growing weary. Fortunately for him, he set his eyes on Christ. You know, he allowed God to speak to him through His Word, to remind him of what he is doing. But it's frustrating. People give up. You know, we grow weary of doing that work time and again. When there's no gratitude, there's no recognition, we know we're not supposed to be doing it for that. And yet, when we don't get it, we feel frustrated. When we don't see results, when we see the same people that we minister week after week, or people that are in our own lives and we're constantly trying to share the truth with them, you know, point them on the right road and point them to Christ, and they're drinking again. They're doing drugs again. They're getting involved with that bad relationship again. It's frustrating. Well, why should we keep trying? God commands us to. He tells us not to grow weary in doing good, because in due time, we will reap. We forget. You know, sometimes we look at our situation, we look at the scenarios, and we just, we wonder if we're really going to see anything come out of it. Now, I'm going to go to a couple of passages. I'm going to go to Ephesians first. In Ephesians, where's my page? Chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Very familiar passage for us, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that these good works that we're called to do, this good that we're called to persevere in, is not going to save us. The works that we do not earn us credit with God, that, you know, give us merit towards our salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is the gift of God. There's nothing you can do that will ever balance the scales in your favor compared to your sin against a holy and infinite God. But by His grace He saves us, and then He makes us the workmanship of Christ. Remember who you are when you're out there, when you're living life, when you're dealing with difficult family relationships or friendships or school or work or ministry, whatever it is, remember who you are. You are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. You represent His work in all that you do. Are you representing it well, or are you not? You're a witness, for good or bad. And this is what Christ is calling us to. And so we need to remember that while these good works don't save us, they are testimonies to the power of Christ. And so we want to be conscientious of that. Another familiar passage in Matthew 25, starting in verse 34. If you guys have questions, feel free, because I don't know if all this is going to take the whole time. I want to touch on these things. I want to bring them to light. I want them to remind us. But I'm very happy to answer questions or to field comments. Anything so far? Or are we just trying to let the coffee do its work? Fair enough. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those who are on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Doing good unto others, we don't always see who we're actually serving. I mean, we should see the person in front of us that we are ministering to. But do we realize how God views them? Something I'm going to mention in my message today is how God identifies with His people. So much so that when you do something to them, for good or bad, you're doing it to Christ. And if, like I said, that's for good or bad. If you're doing good, Jesus says, "You ministered to me." Could you imagine being able to minister to Christ? To come to Him in this time of need when He's there in the flesh and He's suffering the consequences of dealing with humanity, you know, being hungry, being thirsty, being tired, and being able to minister to Him. And yet He says, if you do that to the least of these, you're doing it to me. We should be encouraged by that. We should be encouraged by the fact that we're pleasing our Savior, that we're ministering to the one who took on flesh to die for us, to be crushed for our sins, not His own. And now we get to minister to Him. We get to be pleasing to Him. Be encouraged when you're dealing with people who don't seem to appreciate it, who keep running off in the wrong direction, who never seem to heed the warning and the counsel you give them. Keep at it. God is calling you to this work. And keep in mind, in Amos, I'm going to be teaching Sunday school in the coming weeks eventually on the book of Amos. Our brother Anthony Avinio is going to be preaching, teaching through Jonah, and then I'll take up with Amos. And he talks about justice and righteousness and turning the needy aside at the gate. And here Jesus says, if you don't minister to those people who are in need, if you turn aside the needy at the gate, you're refusing me. You're not serving me. All of a sudden, it takes on a lot more weight. It's easy to make excuses when it's someone else. Like, they're not going to appreciate it. They're just going to blow it. Whatever. Would we do it if we're turning away Christ? Who are we really serving? Who are we doing our good works for? We need to keep that in mind. Any questions or comments on that? No? Okay. You guys are really talkative today. Could you just keep it down a little bit? I need to get through this. Okay. Yeah, I'm running out of verses, so people start talking. Okay, James chapter 2. Verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Questions, comments about that? What's he saying there? Are you seeing a theme? You're seeing something here tied together, different authors, one spirit, one message for us. A lot of people say they have faith. A lot of people say they believe God. A lot of people say they love Jesus. How do we know? Right. What's the Bible say? You know a tree by its fruit, right? Can a good tree produce bad fruit? A bad tree produce good fruit? We are to live our lives in such a way that we are showing evidence of the faith that we say we have. God is calling us to do good works. I mean, all of Scripture, I'm going to be focusing a little bit on the Old Testament today, but the principles are there in the Old and the New. Be zealous for good works. Encourage the people. Be zealous for good works that their Father might get glory in heaven. Right? This is what we're called to do. We're called to work. You know, Adam in the garden was to have dominion. He was to expand that garden to cover the world. We're here to take dominion over this world. And this is not just our world. This is God's world. This is His creation. And we are His kingdom. And He is spreading it throughout all the world. There is work to do. Unfortunately, because of sin, we know that work has not been the joy that it was in the very beginning. There's sweat. There's stress.
I came in late.
No, that's okay.
But what I hear you say is that faith needs to be evident, obviously, for mm-hmm. are not only based on the requirement that we're given in Scripture, commandments and such, but also the outcropping of the Spirit within us,
mm-hmm.
and also our love for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
Christ-centered.
Yes.
So the whole thing is our mindset. Where is our mindset?
Right.
You know, is our mindset on ourselves? Is our mindset on accomplishing things,
mm-hmm.
Careers,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it might be? There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Even doing things for ourselves is not necessarily wrong. But what is first and foremost?
Right.
I think that's what I need to
say. Amen. Good. Well, one person's got it. No, exactly right. Thank you. What is our focus? You know, the good works are according to what standard? Are they just things that we feel are good works? There's a lot of people who are attempting to do good works today, fighting for justice, as it were, social justice. Is it a good work? By what standard? Where have we heard that guy before? What? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's why I'm sharing this. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, and it gets very easy to get very weary because it's not quick work. So we're not throwing something in the microwave and 30 seconds later it's done and ready. Dinner is served. You know, it's the Hot Pockets, I guess. I don't know. anything worth doing is worth taking time, right? Talking about reaping what you sow, it takes time. You got to plant it, you got to water it, you got to care for it, you got to pull up the weeds, you got to do all that stuff, and you got to deal with discouragement. Not enough rain, not enough sun, too many clouds, too many people trampling through my garden, you know, messing up my work. You know, people saying, "Ah, you're never going to be able to grow that. You're never going to see anything. Look at this barren wasteland. You expect to see fruit? Mm-mm." You're not going to see it. It's frustrating. It's wearying. God's calling you something better, something higher.
Just another thought. You know, as we do struggle with it, we have to ask ourselves, what is the greater vision? What is the big picture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get kind of stymied in looking at our everyday lives and the immediate problem in front of us, perhaps, or the immediate task in front of us, that we forget what is the major task of us as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saved just to be saved.
Right.
Right? It's not fire insurance that gets us out of hell.
Right.
We're saved for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that purpose is what we need to be focused on. I'm not saying we neglect the family, but that,
mm-hmm.
that's pieces to the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're given the instruction and guidance through Scripture on how to handle those different issues.
Right.
But the bigger picture is bringing glory to Him, right?
Mm-hmm.
In everything you
yeah.
do, in each one of those steps. And that's what we, and you even said, you know, in serving Christ, you
mm-hmm.
know, and envisioning, you know, when He was on the cross, were we there to serve Him,
mm-hmm.
to help Him to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to look at everything we do and constantly be questioning, are we doing this not only the right way to do it the right way, but are we honoring, and you said this,
mm-hmm.
honoring Christ in how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only is God, the Lord, you know, looking at us and seeing this, but the world itself.
Right. Yeah.
And if we're to accomplish that big picture of glorifying Him, which you brought up in the garden, we were called to take dominion. How do you take dominion? You win battles. How do you win battles? You change hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to change hearts is not with a physical sword, but with mm-hmm. the sword of the Word.
Right.
And for many of us, that means experientially living it out. Maybe we're not the greatest preachers or teachers, mm-hmm. you know, of Scripture itself, or maybe we're not called to be out on the streets and preaching the Word air, you know, in the air or what have you. But the picture is a thousand words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our lives as such speak that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pontificating, but...
By all means. I need the help. I need the time. No, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's our chief end, right? What's the chief end of man? Everyone knows it, right? There you go. I heard it. I'm assuming the rest of you agree, right? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what we're called to do. And He has laid it out for us in Scripture, what that looks like. What does it look like to glorify God? And that's, please... I know it's mostly preaching to the choir here at Hope. But to understand what is glorifying to God, we have to go back to His Word. There are too many people who want to take the name of God and their concept of love and run with it. And they are doing destruction left, right, and center. Okay? We need to have the standard of God's Word. We need to know what it says. We need to know it cover to cover. That there's too many people who want to focus on a New Testament Christianity. New Testament is built on the Old Testament. The Old anticipated the New. New didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Okay? We need to know God's standard regarding life and godliness. We need the whole Word. So study yourselves to be shown approved workmen, right? Rightly dividing the Word, who are not ashamed. I think I blended two verses there. You get it. All right? This is what we're called to. We're called to glorify. We're called to demonstrate our faith. We're called to take dominion. That Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, right? Disciple the nations. Best part about doing Sunday school is I can like tie in with my message every which way. So it's building the foundation. So you guys got the advantage over those who aren't here for later on. Go ahead, Jake. Amen. As New Yorkers, I think we struggle with this more than some others. We're so much in our own world, our own space, You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. How about that? Right? That's not what God calls us to. He's not calling us to each man their own island. You know, just worry about yourself and your business. Let, you know, we think, oh, let them take care of their own. God has called us to work, you know. We see people and we're just like, is this the problems, right? Jesus looks on the people and he had compassion for them. They're helpless, scattered, sheep without a shepherd, right? And so what does he say? Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers, to send laborers into the field. It's ripe for harvest. I mean, when we look at the ministry of Christ, I think sometimes, and we see, well, that was just Jesus, you know, that's what he had to do, you know, he had to preach, he had to heal, he had to, you know, but I mean, that was, his life was consumed by that. His ministry was preaching the gospel, was caring for the sick, was praying, was spending lots and lots of time in prayer. An example to us, if Christ needs prayer, oh my word, how much more do we need prayer? How much do we need to be having our thoughts focused Godward, you know, to read the word, to understand what God is saying to us? We need to be thinking about that. And, you know, it's easy for us to, we think in terms of work and we think about evangelism, and we should. Please, that is a major part of this focus. But doing good is, it's getting involved in people's lives, the day-to-day, the messy. Ministry is messy. It hurts. You know, Paul David Tripp is, I really appreciate so much of what he teaches and speaks on. And you know, he's written books on and talks about like instruments in the Redeemer's hands. And he has said, like, when you are dealing with someone who is engaged in sin, eventually that sin is going to be visited on you. If you're dealing with an angry person, eventually they're going to be angry with you. If you're dealing with a selfish person, eventually they're going to be making demands on you and your time and not appreciating what you do give. It's never enough. If you're dealing with someone who's a liar and a manipulator, eventually you're the guy or girl who they're going to be lying to and manipulating. Ministry is messy, and yet we're called to faithfully continue steadfast, knowing that God will give the harvest in his time. Okay? We are not responsible for the results. We're responsible for the faithful effort. So it's evangelism. It's sharing the gospel, whether you open air preach or hand out tracts or talk to your coworker whose husband just died. You know, there's opportunities all around you. You know, everyone you know is dealing with something. There is hurt. There is suffering. It is part of the consequences of sin that reminds us of the future judgment to come. That would be in the message, too.
One of the things that I was looking at this week, I'm going to share that the nursing home is Psalm 71. And the only reason I bring that up is David, in his older age, is struggling with some issues. And what does he do? He looks back and he sees from birth how God has blessed him and worked in his life, provided for him, taken care of him. So, yeah, it gets messy, and you're 100% right. But when we look back and see how God has blessed us, we're empowered and we're strengthened and encouraged to move forward and indeed take them. And you're 100% right. It's more than just sharing the word. It's living the word. For instance, when we went out on Saturday to give out food and clothes, what was our main goal? It wasn't just to feed them and clothe them. It was try to reach them that they would have that turnaround, that repentance, that changed life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to show them how that's done.
Right. Amen. Yeah, it's actually the priority, right? Especially the household of faith. That's what we're told. Especially, do good unto all, especially the household of faith. And sometimes, I tell you, we, again, there's no excuse. We can say, well, we're New Yorkers, and well, we're this, and well, we're really busy, and oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. I actually had that just recently, where I had neglected to reach out to someone who was suffering. Reached out on Facebook, wasn't that good enough? It's not. We need to do what sometimes is awkward to us. We need to do sometimes the uncomfortable. We need to reach out and to embrace people who are hurting. We need to make it our business to know each other's business. Not in a gossipy sense. I know I don't have to tell you that, but I'll say it anyway. Some people think they have to know everybody's business about everything. No. But you have to know what's going on that you might be able to minister to them effectively and comfort them and to help them in whatever they're dealing with.
Sort of add on to what you're saying. We you know, at least myself, we tend to forget that a lot of people that are hurting don't necessarily reach out.
Right.
So you're thinking, mm-hmm. Nah, they're fine.
Right. Exactly.
Never actually have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing inside they really kind of want somebody, but they're, I don't know if it's a pride thing, but they they won't, you know, come straight out.
Yeah.
So I think we have to make a conscious effort to, especially if we know somebody's going through something.
Right.
To get a hold of them and say, listen, what's going on? How are you doing? Because, you know, as a people group, I think I'll stay in my little shell and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, I would encourage people, if you're, again, you don't have to put it out for the whole world, but have brothers and sisters who you can go to and say, I'm hurting, I'm struggling, would you pray for me? You know, do that, because sometimes we're human beings and we fail to reach out, and we wish if we had known, you know. And then for those of you who are on the other end and you're looking at people like, well, they didn't say anything. Well, think, if your child was going through that situation or your spouse was dealing with that, how would you feel? Would you want someone to reach out and encourage you, to pray for you, to talk to you, to come alongside you, just to sit? Sometimes I think we get so caught up in like, oh, I have to say something. I don't know what to say, so I won't say anything. Job's friends, the best thing they did was the first 7 days. They saw him, they wept, they tore their clothes, and they sat silently for 7 days. And then it got worse, you know, but that was a comfort to know someone loved and cared enough that they would just be there.
And like you say, I think it's enough for some people just to say, hey, I know it's probably a tough time for you, I'm praying for you, you're in my thoughts, and you know, if you want to talk, just come seek me out. And sometimes that's encouraging enough, like even if they don't want to talk, but just to know that somebody's thinking about them, somebody's there for them, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and these good works are ways to... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Liar. Doing those good works, sharing, you know, and like you said, you know, when someone asks you, like, how are you doing? Fine. Don't be a liar. But also, don't say, how are you doing, as you're walking past them. Because then you're the liar. It's like, well, I don't really care. Hope it's great. You know, I might as well just say, have a nice day, because that's just more honest. We need to reach out, and we need to be honest about those things, because a lot of these are just lying through your teeth. Everyone says they're a Christian here, and you've all lied about this at times. How you doing? Fine. No. But when we do those good works unto one another, when we act like Christ to those who are in need, when we let others minister to us as if we were Christ and give an opportunity to serve Him by serving us, that builds up love. It builds up unity. It makes people see that we're different, because the world... especially here in New York, you know, we're not about that. And people are yearning for it. People are yearning for truth, for genuineness, you know? I mean, we see it. I mean, there's people who are clinging to all sorts of absurd lies, but there are those who see the emptiness of all that, the shell that it is, and just how superficial. And they're yearning for something genuine. So when they see families that are really loving each other like Christ loves the church, you know, when they see relationships that are like deep and meaningful, it's an aroma of Christ to a dying world who's dealing with the stench of sin. So be an aroma to Christ, of Christ. Last point, I'll wrap it up. Thank you so much for sharing some thoughts, because it's great. It's needed insights. It helps us to further clarify what we're talking about here. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. We'll conclude here. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The example of Paul, pray. Pray for one another. Be praying for the body. Be praying for the individuals. Be prayerful that they would understand with greater understanding, that they would be filled with spiritual insight to understand who they're serving and how they're to serve and how they're bringing glory to God. When we serve and when we pray, when we do these things, by actually the doing, we get more insight into Christ. We get more insight into the vision that God has for this world. If all we do is read and then close it and forget it, we have gained nothing. It's not enough to have a head knowledge. If you want to know Christ, serve His people. That's what He's calling us to do. Serve Him, minister to others. Don't grow weary in doing good works. Bear fruit and increase in the knowledge of God. See how those two are tied together? They're not just separate abstract concepts. Bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I would encourage you, my brethren, that's a message I need to remind myself. God whose promises are yes and amen. He promises if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, we know His promises are true. We know how He's accomplishing His purposes. We have seen it. So don't give up. Don't grow weary. Weary. That's for Elmer Fudd, I guess. I don't know. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. If you're struggling, tell someone. Pray. Be focused. Focus on Christ and realize that you're serving Him. You're not serving yourself. Realize He did not get a lot of accolades when He walked this earth. Oh, there are people who gave Him praise, and then there are people who wanted to kill Him. He was crucified for the holiness that He brought. Okay? Don't expect that this world who hated Him is going to think very highly of you. But there will be those who do. God is calling His elect, and He's using it. He's doing it through His church. And so let us be faithful. We're out of time, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, because it is so easy for us to get tired and to get frustrated and to grow weary in doing good. And we think no one else is doing it, or no one's on the same page, and no one seems to care. But Lord, help us not to fall into the sin of thinking that we're doing it for ourselves, or that we're doing it for the praise of men. Lord, You call us to do good works to glorify You. You who saved us from our sins when we could not save ourselves. You who have redeemed us though we deserve hell. Lord, help us to be faithful in doing good. Lord, that You might be honored, that You might be glorified. Pray that You would be with us now as we prepare to go and to worship You as a body. We pray that You would be pleased with the worship that we bring, with clean hands and a pure heart, that our minds would be focused on Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.